Hello and welcome back to another As It Is program. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We are here every day to help you learn and improve your American English. At the same time, we tell you about interesting things that are happening around the world and beyond. Today, we begin with information about satellites that are helping us learn what is under the oceans that cover much of our planet. Then we will hear how South Korea is dealing with e-waste, the parts of all those electronic devices that are old and no longer needed. So, if you're ready, let's get started with part one. We know more about the surface of the planet Mars than we know about what is at the bottom of Earth's oceans. Until recently, scientists had mapped only about 20% of the seafloor. But our knowledge of the deep seas is changing because of information from satellites. Christopher Cruz tells us more.
The new map is two times as detailed as the map made 20 years ago. David Sandwell is a geophysics professor at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at the University of California. He and other scientists worked on the mapping project. He says they turned to space to look deeper into the ocean. He spoke to VOA on Skype.
The way we're doing that is to use a satellite altimeter, a radar, to map the topography of the ocean surface. Now, that seems sort of strange that you'd map the topography of the ocean surface when you really want to get at the seafloor. But the ocean surface topography has these bumps and dips due to gravitational effects that mimic what's on the seafloor.
The scientists collected and studied information from two satellites. Some of the data came from the European Space Agency's Cryo 2 satellite. It was placed in Earth's orbit to watch sea ice. The other satellite is the American Space Agency's Jason 1. It is studying the surface of the oceans. Scientists combined the satellite data with images gathered by sonar equipment on ships. Sonar works by sending sound waves through the water. When the sound waves hit an object, its presence is confirmed.
That enables us to look at smaller scale features and also features that are buried by sediments in the ocean basins.
The new map shows the sea floor as it has never been seen before. It shows thousands of underwater mountains and places where continents pulled apart. It shows where earthquakes were active many years ago. They all are buried deep underneath the ocean floor. In one place, three mountain ridges join at the same area. Huge tectonic plates can be seen clearly there.
It's called the Indian Ocean Triple Junction. It's one of my favorite spots in the ocean because it really displays the theoretical aspects of plate tectonics perfectly. We have three plates, the African plate and the Indo-Australian plate and the Antarctic plate, all connected at this one point in the center of the Indian Ocean.
David Sandwell says the map is a powerful tool for fisheries, those interested in protecting the environment, and for oil exploration.
Petroleum exploration industry is interested in how to reconnect the continents, bring them back together tectonically so you can map a continental margin, say Africa, and use that to establish where the similar basins would be on the other continental margin in South America.
If scientists know that information, they may be able to find oil fields. The new data also will help scientists improve their estimates of ocean depths. This information can help ships travel safely and improve military operations and scientific projects worldwide. Mr. Sandwell thinks scientists will make many more discoveries as they examine the new map and the information it provides. The work is described in the journal Science. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. South Korea is dealing with increasing amounts of waste from electronic devices. These useless or unwanted parts are often called e-waste. Tons of old computers, telephones, and other devices are often taken to landfills and buried under the ground. The old products may leak toxic or poisonous chemicals. Now, some local governments in South Korea are launching special e-waste recycling programs. We learn more from Jonathan Evans.
The city of Seoul throws out about 10 tons of e-waste each year. About 20% of that goes to the Seoul Resource Center, also known as the SR Center. There, electronic devices are taken apart so that valuable metals like gold or copper can be extracted and reused. South Korean officials say metal extraction is a $3.8 billion industry. Ji Yung-gung is the chief executive officer of the SR Center. He says reusing electronic parts is not only about earning profits. He says the goal is to protect the environment. He says, our planet has a limited amount of natural resources. Our company contributes to a sustainable society by conserving these materials. Ji Yung-gun says about 90% of what is brought to the center will be used on other products. The increase of e-waste is not only a concern in South Korea. The United Nations says millions of tons of e-waste end up in developing countries. Toxic materials like lead and mercury can create a severe health risk to the local population. The Seoul City government partnered with the SR Center to collect e-waste in 2009. Lee Tae-hung lives in the South Korean capital. He says recycling is also about protecting personal information from attack. He says if devices like phones are not recycled, then they could illegally end up in other countries like China or in Southeast Asia, and personal data could be stolen. But some environmental groups say not enough is being done to limit the amount of electronics sent to landfills. South Koreans keep buying more and more electronic gadgets. Some experts estimate that only 21% of the country's total e-waste gets properly recycled. Lee Joo-hong is with the Green Consumers Network. He says the average South Korean buys a new mobile phone every 18 months. He says companies offer special deals to buy new products. He says people change their phones so quickly, partially because companies offer big subsidies to buy new products. And Korean consumers do not want to feel left out by not having the latest model. Ji Yung-gung agrees with Lee Joo-hong. He says that consumer behavior is a big reason why old phones continue to appear at the recycling center. But he says he is doing his part to reduce that. He says, I have had this same phone for 10 years. It is what I can do to help conserve our natural resources. He says that more South Korean cities need to start their own recycling programs to keep up with the increasing amount of e-waste. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Thank you for being with us today. Goodbye for now.